Take a Bible and turn to Genesis 27. Read the first few verses. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field, and take me some venison, and make me a savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and then that my soul may bless thee before I die. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy Word that's ever settled in heaven. We thank Thee, O Lord, that You called us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light and delivered us, Father, from the hands of Satan, and You have delivered us in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray those for those that are here tonight, and each one that You would bless them, and those that are saved, that edify them, those that are lost, that You might please You to save them for Christ's sake. We ask Your, give us understanding into Thy Word, and that we might glean tonight from it, and that we might prosper in it. And just thank Thee and praise Thee in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Now, who's getting the blessing is the title of the lesson. I changed it about four or five times, so it's just a lot of different things in here. The outcome of our lesson verses. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's Hebrews 11:20. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And that's Hebrews 12:16-17. And then in Romans, that reminds us of this situation also. Things revealed that some not understand, if you will, at that time. Not only this, but Rebekah also had conceived but one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God's election, according to election, might stand, and not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, The eldest shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so this section of two chapters, of Genesis 27-28, this lesson only covers through verse 10-9, and I don't think we'll get through that tonight. So, and then the rest of it we'll deal with in a different lesson. And so who was the winner of this chapter? And of course, nobody was. They all done wickedly. They all done badly. And if we would say some of these are God's people, we would kind of scratch our heads and say, which one? And so they done wickedly. They tried to do God's work in the flesh, or just plain rebellion against God. And at best, Rebekah was attempting to fulfill God's word with worldly endeavors, or she was merely trying to promote Jacob at the expense of Esau. So we could take it either way, because either way it would fit in here, but nothing is said by her in this passage of trying to fulfill the will of God. And so I take it that that wasn't her purpose. And then our patriarch Isaac tried to usurp God's authority by giving the birthright to Esau, or at least the blessing, and as his successor in the holy line, culminating in the promised seed of Jesus Christ. Jacob seems passive, obeying his mother, and Esau, overcome with anger, marries out of spite. There is not much, if any, holiness here. That is, it looks like answer is rebellion. How would you have to have these as fellow church members. Isaac and Rebekah would twist the word and change the truth to a lie. Which version would the world or the church use? The Isaac or Rebekah translation. And so they corrupted everything that they did in these chapters and our first part of chapter 28. Of course, the latter part of 28 is where Jacob has his vision and then he arrives at Laman. And so should they have said, let the Lord's will be done, and been done with it? The ultimate dysfunctional family, what was the origin, the reason, the trigger, the cause, the trigger, and the basis for this disruption in their daily lives? And it was because Isaac was approximately 137 years old. Now, you see the two little question marks. That means that there's a disagreement, and I wasn't there, so I don't know how old he was. The scriptures doesn't say how old he was, and this is just figuring out the dates that we do know about Isaac and pretty well where it would fit in. If it was 137, then it was at the same age that Ishmael died, and yet we see Jacob or Esau, but he's speaking of Ishmael's family, I think, rather than Ishmael himself. And he connived the plan to satisfy his appetite and give Esau the blessing and not Jacob, even though God clearly shown he was the chosen one. And Isaac believes this is a private conversation. However, Rebekah hears it and listens to every word, and then she connives and brings about a plan to keep Esau from getting the blessing, and the blessing would come to Jacob, and Jacob was not a plan maker, although an essential part of the plan required him. He was the cast as the actor. He was to act. His role was to be Esau. And so this this triggered for all of this. This proved very foolish, and he would live for another 40 years, that is Isaac. And true, most of do not know the departure date from this body, but Isaac thought it was right at hand. He just thought, he said, well, I'll eat a good meal and feast, bless Esau, and then I'll die. And this is a promised seed blessing that he's talking about here, not just a blessing. And it would normally be called a birthright blessing, but Esau already sold the birthright. So this is the promised part of the Abrahamic covenant blessing. That is, he wants to bestow upon Esau. And God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and later to Jacob, not the firstborn, but the one chosen of God. We notice in Romans 9, it says, though, that the election, and that was the purpose, that that God's election would stand sure. That is, God has the right to choose whoever he wants to, and this is the reason for that. No pretense of doing God's will. There's none, no place where they're calling upon God. There is one time they invoke the name of God, but as when we get there, we see that it's not really calling upon God. They just said, well, God, help me in my quest, which was a lie, because it was Jacob, and of course he lied about the whole thing. It was like Isaac and Rebekah were in a contest to see who could win, and they used underhanded or otherwise to win. Verses 1 through 5, we read verses down through 4 and verse 5, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And so she hears the blessing, and she immediately starts conniving or figuring up a plan to keep Esau from getting the blessing. Isaac wanted to be satisfied his appetite. And this is one of those things that's confusing about the whole thing. If he wanted to bless Esau, If he blessed him when he called him in there, then he'd been blessed, you know. And God wouldn't have caused it to stand, but he would have been blessed. But instead, he says, go out and fix me some venison and, you know, like kind of meal I want and bring it in here and then sit down and eat and then I'll bless you. So the blessing was based upon him going out and getting some venison and making a savory meal for him to eat and one like he really enjoyed. And of course, Isaac doesn't know that Rebekah heard all of this, so he thinks it's confidential, but nonetheless, if he really wanted to bless him, he could have blessed him and said, would you go get me some venison after it's over with? But he done it the other way around. We see the promise, see the blessing from Abraham through him to the promised nation Israel and then to the Messiah or Jesus Christ. And so this is all in the lineage of the Lord. He would have blessed them then instead of waiting for, he wanted to satisfy his hunger. I don't know. They must have fixed venison different way than I'm used to eating it, but nonetheless, we cannot predict what God would have done if Isaac had gone through his plan. Isaac could have died. We could come with 100 different scenarios if it was successful, but it wasn't successful, and I don't think Rebekah was there by accident. I think she listened in to all his conversations, so I don't think this is an unusual miracle that she happened to be there listening. As we see later, she had spies everywhere and tell her what Isaac was saying, what Esau was doing, and so she was, if you will, was a very, very, not, had a great knowledge of everything Isaac did. And so we think in verses 5 and 6, Rebekah was listening and was the type of Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sins will find you out. Verse 6, and it says, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying. And then she goes on and repeats what Isaac had said. And in Genesis 27:41-42, she was told of Esau's oath to kill Jacob and informed him of the danger. Was this God's plan to use these men, these situations, try to prevent or pervert God's plan as Isaac and Esau did? And we'll deal with this in a couple of different times, but God works through the circumstances. He brings about his goodwill and purpose, and usually he does it in a way of what we call providential care, that he works through providence, which means you don't see it. It's not like a miracle, you know, providence is we pray for something and God gives it to us, but he gives it to us in natural ways. In other words, it was money. When I was in school, I got in the mail, and we needed $50, what we needed. We got a money order from somebody we didn't know, don't know to this day who sent it, and it was exactly how much we needed. And so we was thrilled to get it, but that's providential. Now, if $50 just materialized on the table, that would be a miracle. And so so God works through these things, and as we go through our lesson, we want to deal with that too, because some accuse God of using wickedness to bring about his good purposes, and instead of God working through the situation to bring about his good purpose. Man proposes, but God disposes. And that would be the key to this passage. In Genesis 27:6-17, verses 6-8, and we read verse 6 and verse 7, bring me venison, make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now behold, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them a savory meat for thy Father, such as he loveth. And, of course, again, Rebecca knows how he likes his food, and she knew exactly how to fix it. Instead of using venison, they're going to use goat, and I don't know that what would be any difference in how she fixed the goat from the venison. You're probably more aware of that than I would be, but she used perennial authority, that is, in telling Jacob that he was to do what she told him to do, just like Isaac told Esau what he's supposed to do. And so as the father to the son and mother to the son, they were told what to do, and they were set, this whole thing was set into operation or process by these two. And she used and as some give it to wickedness because governmental authority. And I was thinking about the legalizing of murder, gambling, accepting and teaching evolution, and reorganizing, recognizing those whom God does not recognize, that is, fornicators of all kinds. And it seems like if the government sets a seal of approval on it, then it makes it right. Just like if someone's talking about what the convention was striving for, trying to do. And somebody said, well, if you gamble here, it's not legal, but if you go to Las Vegas or someplace else, you know, or one of these state-run lotteries, well, that's all right. But gambling is gambling. It's like murder is murder, and fornication is fornication, no matter if the government says it's not. What God says is what counts. Rebecca knew how to cook the goat meat to make it taste like venison, or the way he liked his meal, and what kind of spices and all that they use, we have no idea. Jacob was afraid there, as we read on, and thou shalt bring, at verse 10, it to thy father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, preadventure, will fill me, and shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I will bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And verse 13, we'll go ahead and read that. But and his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. This latter verse, as we'll deal with in a minute, this is popular in our day. You cannot take somebody else's curse. That's just impossible. But nonetheless, she made all the trimmings, made everything, and Jacob, of course, went and did what he did, but he was afraid that his dad would see he was a deceiver. Well, that's exactly what he was. And that if he seen that he was a deceiver, that he would put a curse on him instead of a blessing. And so he was there to get the blessing, but if Isaac seen through his deception, then instead he would receive a curse. And so I copied this from Wiersbe. Jacob's concern wasn't, is it right, but is it safe? He was worried about the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught. And so that's the ideal of many in their sins, is as long as I don't get caught, as long as nobody knows about it, as long as I can do it with subtlety, and people say, well, I wonder who done that. And it's like kids when they try to get by with something, blame the other brother or something. You probably didn't do that, but sometime you get found out and receive the consequences for it. This was a covert operation, and Jacob was going to wear camouflage. He was going to put this goat skin on his hand. I don't fully understand that. I know they had different kinds of goat than we have, and some of them are the same, but like the sheep, some of their sheep, they're short hair and long hair and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, he's going to cover his hand. That tell me that Esau was very hairy. And he was hairy all over as when he was born. And so he would disguise himself with that goat's camouflage. He had to convince Isaac in every way that he was Esau, and Jacob was smooth skinned, and as we mentioned, Esau's hairy. As with all deception, it requires a good liar. And Jacob lied to Isaac twice. He said he was Esau, lied about the meal and his provisions, and claimed God gave him speed. This is the worst course of these sins. Now, verse 13, 14, and he went and fetched and brought them to his father, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved, and Rebekah took godly or goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and gave him the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And so we see everything is set. The preparation has been made. The meal has been prepared. And Jacob was in his costume and ready to go and before Isaac and try to deceive him. And, of course, one of his advantages is that Isaac was dim of sight. It says he's, and I think it was more than just dim. I put in the notes legally blind, but I think he was, for all practicality, he was blind. He couldn't tell the difference between Esau and Jacob. The success there in 27:18, and he came unto his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, son, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord my God has brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son, Esau, or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." We'll take up start there in just a little bit. Now, I put in here, his hearing was also impaired. We don't know that 100% because the Bible doesn't say that, but it seems to me like it had to be some impairment there if he couldn't tell the difference between his two sons. Even their voices were close together, and we don't know how different their voices was, but it was his hearing was off enough that he didn't discern that it really was Jacob. He says the voice of Jacob, but, you know, the smell of the touch of Esau as he fell around his neck and around his hand, that he was hairy. And the deception, Jacob asked for the promise, a blessing, insisting he is Isaac, or Esau, excuse me, and fulfill all of Isaac's requirements. And again, he was he commanded Esau, go out to get the venison, fix the meal, bring it back. And so Jacob knew everything he told Esau, Isaac, and Isaac told Esau, and he thought it was confidential. Isaac did. He thought nobody had heard about it. So it all played together to bring about this deception. And Jacob invokes the name of God, that the Lord had delivered him the venison. And to me, this is one of the most dangerous part of his deception, is calling on God, that God was on his side and went out and brought the venison to him. And that's the reason he was able to get back so quickly. Isaac was deceived, and yet with some reservations, there in verse 22, 23, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy, and his brother's Esau's hand, so he blessed him, and said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, bring it near me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought with him wine and drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. And so the deception is full, complete, and Esau had fulfilled the requirements. And, of course, Isaac is still a little bit suspicious, and and as he's suspicious about all this, we're not... Now, I was talking about usurper. I jumped a page. I blame it on lack of sleep. Isaac was deceived, yet with some reservation, and Isaac's main concern was the meal, not the blessing. Although he wanted Esau to have the blessing, though his eyes were failing, he still had a good appetite and could taste and drink without any problems. And he kissed Jacob, and this was a deceitful kiss, not on Isaac's part, but on Jacob's part. And as Joab had kissed Amasah and murdered him, and the harlot's kiss to destroy, and Judas' betrayal of Jesus with a kiss, and the kiss of one of his kiss is one of the devil's deceptions or weapons. And there's other places that we could have used from the scripture of a kiss and deception connected with it, but those just kind of the main ones. Many conjectures about why the smell of Esau was there in these clothes. They did not have a wash machine. They didn't have laundry detergent or dry cleaners. And yes, they would have worn these clothes on several occasions without cleaning them. And this is one of those things when people nitpick and say, well, they don't sound like it'd be right. And of course it's right. And if you've ever... I'll get into that. But people's odor carry or tarry a long time in their clothes. And sometimes you don't use a good detergent, and they don't all come out. You can still tell who the person is that wore it. Isaac bestows the patriarchal blessing there in verses 28 and 29. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of wine, of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow to thee, the Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And so we find that the blessing was bestowed, and the blessing of prosperity in the land, and the plentiful harvest, the good ground, and that would require a good ground and rain. And we know usually in Israel, there when God would bring judgment upon them, usually withheld rain. And of course, the rain would cause the crops to fail and all the other things that associated with that, but the ground was good ground. It was good land. As long as it had plenty of rain, it'd bring forth abundantly. Is the land flowing with milk and honey, is what Moses told the children of Israel when they was on their way to Canaan land. And so we have a rehearsal of the covenant, Abraham's blessing concerning curses and blessings. And I think we'll stop there. Lord willing, the rest of this you can study, and then the next section is the shock, and this is when he finds out he's been deceived, and yet we say, well, if you've done it by deception, it don't count. Well, Isaac said it counted, and we know God already said it counted. So when people say things like that, they're just foolish. And what they're saying, God will bring about his goodwill and purpose, and if deception is used, if it's a legal case in court, then there's some merit. But just like if somebody says, I'm selling you this car, I'm selling you as is, but just my grandmother just drove to the store and back. And you find out after you get it, you know, everything on it's ruined. It's been raced or whatever. So some call that puffing, but nonetheless, it's deception. And if they said that you're buying it as is, then you've got it as is.